This is UN in Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. In this week's program, African societies have yet to understand the meaning of autism, and the key to Africa's future development lies in outer space. But first, South Sudan is on a trajectory towards mass atrocities, and immediate action needs to be taken by the UN Security Council to prevent that from happening. That was the message from UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon at a recent meeting of the 15-member council in New York. He urged members to impose an arms embargo on warring parties in support of a revived political process to end the fighting. Daniel Dickinson reports.
Just 2 years after independence in 2011, fighting began in South Sudan between rival leaders. In his address to the Security Council, Mr. Ban said the latest report suggested President Salva Kiir and his troops were on the brink of beginning fresh military hostilities with former First Vice President Riek Machar and his forces. He said an arms embargo would diminish the fighting on both sides, adding there had to be severe consequences for a failure to de-escalate the violence. The UN chief said the people of South Sudan had suffered far too much for far too long.
If we fail to act, South Sudan will be on a trajectory towards mass atrocities, as people will be the target of those atrocities while they pin their hopes on the international community in general and the Security Council.
The humanitarian situation in the country continues to worsen as civilians suffer the fallout from the conflict, which is now in its fourth year. The UN humanitarian chief, Stephen O'Brien, had this to say to the council.
Violence and attacks against civilians have continued. Hundreds of thousands of people have been driven from their homes, and hunger has deepened. There are numerous accounts of horrific gender-based and sexual violence, with most perpetrators walking free.
And he said the outlook for 2017 is bleak.
This year, some 6.1 million people required humanitarian assistance, half the population of this young nation. The humanitarian community expects this number to rise by a staggering further 20 to 30% in 2017 due to the destructive violence on the ground, forced displacement, compounded by food insecurity, economic decline, destitution, and a breakdown of basic services.
So serious is the current situation that a UN special advisor has said the country is verging on genocide, a view which the South Sudanese ambassador to the UN, Joseph Malok, rejected.
Such description is a bit far exaggerated and does not reflect the reality on the ground. There have been no attempts that we are aware of on the part of the South Sudanese masses to turn against each other. Recently, the rebels have sought to killing innocent civilians because of their ethnic background.
Earlier in the year, the Security Council mandated the deployment of an additional force of some 4,000 troops, who will be mainly based in the capital, Juba. While the UN mission in South Sudan, UNMISS, awaits that deployment, it continues to be hampered by restrictions on its freedom of movement across the country, in violation of terms agreed by the government. Daniel Dickinson, United Nations.
African societies have yet to understand what autism means, according to Uganda's ambassador to the UN. Richard Nduhura said that generating awareness about autism across the continent was an important step towards removing stigma surrounding it. The disorder affects the nervous system, making social interactions and verbal and nonverbal communications difficult. Priyanka Shankar spoke to Dr. Nduhura, who was one of the organizers of an event discussing autism in Africa, recently held at UN headquarters.
Autism is a disorder that you find everywhere. It cuts across boundaries. It does not respect the level of development of any country. So it is found everywhere in Africa. The only snag has been to distinguish between autism and other mental illnesses. There has been a tendency to confuse two. But studies are now available to show that autism is a standalone disability on its own, which should not be confused with other mental illnesses.
As a young person, when you lived in Africa or when you go back home now, do you come across a lot of people who have autism, and what is your reaction? How does that make you feel?
There are several people with autism. The societies back in Africa are yet to understand what this disease is. So there is a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of creating awareness so that people don't think that this is a case of a person with just a simple mental problem or who has been bewitched or there is a misfortune in the family. There is a tendency for people who do not understand this disease to understand it along those lines, which is very, very unfortunate. But good enough, studies have been made and awareness is being created.
It's interesting. You said a lot of people don't exactly know what autism is. When it comes to this, do you think they accept it? Is it considered a stigma?
Well, there's still a lot of stigma around it. There's no doubt about it. You will find families fear that they have a misfortune. That's why they have a relative. And that's very unfortunate because if you have stigma around a person who is autistic, it means you cannot care for that person properly. And so what some of them do is to keep such people indoors or away from the public because they don't want them to be seen, which is very, very, very unfortunate.
The key to Africa's future development lies in outer space, according to the head of a UN-affiliated space science institute on the continent. Dr. Ganiyu Agbajiya said space technology such as satellite imagery can provide a clearer picture of Africa's natural resources, which can then be used, for example, in environmental protection efforts. Dr. Agbajiya is executive director of the African Regional Center for Space Science and Technology Education, which is based in Nigeria. Students from 24 English-speaking African countries are enrolled there. Deanne Penn caught up with Dr. Agbajiya at a recent UN co-sponsored forum on space and development held in Dubai.
Well, most of them that have passed through the center have come back because we have what we call the alumni conference every 2 years. Some of them move on to have higher degrees. Some of them are employed by a space institute or a similar institute or science and technology ministry. And some of them are now champions of various space programs in their countries.
When we hear about science and space travel, you know, it's certain countries we only hear about. Right. What is your institute doing to sort of change those perceptions?
You know, the whole idea about using space for socioeconomic development has become very relevant because the developing countries, especially Africa, there's a problem. To develop, you need to conquer your environment. And it's only when you conquer your environment, you know the value of your resources, then you can even govern your surrounding better and make life better for your people. But today, especially Africa, remains the least mapped continent in the world. And hence, there are no vital information to plan development. The only way to progress now is through space science. And that will change the perception. When you start seeing the application in agric, when you want to know where water is, you use space. When you want to know the encroachment from desert, you get information from Earth observation satellites, get information from communication satellites. All this will change the way we view the Earth we are living in.
Can you tell me some of the research your students are doing in these areas or others?
Yeah, I can remember one student is from Liberia. And during the war, there's a lot of movement. He carried out what we call the land use, land cover, how the land is being used and what has changed over time. We found out that the area was full of forest. But during the war, people were moving into the forest. Some areas have been cleared, and we're able to map the trend up to some 5 years, and we're able to see that, okay, people have moved from where, and the kind of settlement they're having is informal settlement because of the war, and he's saying this will then enable the humanitarian organizations that want to take care of them. Now, so the government say, well, since people have moved there, this now we are going to develop the area.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN in Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.